You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's move forward. Always going forward. Take out your document. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. I want you to go to page 51, where we're dealing with the timelessness of God. Everybody said the timelessness of God. Now, why are we engaging you in this? Why are we talking about things that are more relevant to our everyday activities? Well, I have you to know this is more relevant than your everyday activities. If we were to engage you in politics, that would just be a continuation of what you've read and heard and seen all week long. And if we were to tell you that we are going to, God's going to change it, we would not be in the scriptures, at least in the grace scriptures, we would not be giving you the information and the revelation of what's there. If we were able, we were going to tell you that the economy is going to get better, we wouldn't be able to do that from the, not from our gospel. Even the prophecies in the kingdom gospel telling us things are going to get worse in this venue. Not better, worse. But that does not affect those who are benefactors of the provisions in the grace covenant. You're covered. You're safe. And secure. From all along. Doesn't mean that when it rains troubles and problems that it won't rain on you. It simply means that in the terrain of time, these things are designed, but what effectuates you more is not in time, it's in the eternity. And the real happenings is where Christ exists and God exists. When we go to Colossians, it teaches us that all things were created in Him. So to know where a thing is ontologized in stability, it has to be in Him. Our problem is, we think God is a component of time. So we look into the revenue, to the venue rather, of time, and we're looking and we're expecting, and what we're looking for and expecting, though it is promised to you, it is not promised to you in time. And why isn't given? Why isn't that time? Because that's not where God is. God is not in time. No. God created time. Everybody repeat after me again, the timelessness of God. Remember, anything that's in time is temporary. And so when you look for that which is abiding, you've got to look out top of the time capsule. Time is moving on. And at some point, what happens to it? It's gone. Time will be no more. That's just plain, but the problem is we're not listening. And this is why we're so messed up when the Lord takes one of us out of here. It's like that person is destroyed. Oh no, something is destroyed.
Yeah.
It is the earthly tabernacle that is destroyed. But the real deal, the real, oh my God, the real essence of you is where it's always been. In eternity, He chose you and me, and He placed us in the body of Christ. That's where we are right now. So it's secondary what manifests in the time capsule. What's going on down here?
Oh,
I know they're not going to teach that. They want to tell you how to make it and what to do. Five ways and... Don't you go for that. They really have no scriptures, at least not rightly divided. And absolutely not in the grace contract. You open your contract if God hasn't promised you one square inch of this earth. And we shouldn't want it anyway. Because it's all going to pass. Even that which He promises Israel, it will be a nude.
That's right.
And while we thank God and we can be happy for Israel, when we open, oh my God, when we open our contract, it's more. Can you say more?
More.
All right, I want to take a realistic look at things this morning. I'm glad we started early. That gave me a little bit more time. Amen. I'm not going to try to make up for last week, though. But you just hang with us this morning. There's something out there that's going to mess you up if you don't know this. All right. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Everybody to turn where we were last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again at verse 50. Here Paul outlays some very sober but yet encouraging facts of information. And one thing it does, it teaches us, it assures us that God is fully in control. I don't get upset at the process open theist doctrines that said God hasn't got control of everything and there's some things that's going on out here and He's working on it and He would eventually put everything under His feet and some of the things that are happening out there and we got theologians who say, well, you know, I don't blame God for that. You know, that He didn't, the devil did that. God didn't, you know, just... You know, that doesn't give us no type of stabilized comfort to think that there's some things going on out there and God doesn't have a hand on it yet. And that's what causes us to fear. Is that we know that we don't control anything or determine anything. But what is laid out here is that the thing that's not happening, it is not happening because it's not decreed.
Right.
It can't manifest because it was not ontologized. It was not actualized. Any occurrence or anything, any action is actualized in God's decree.
Yes.
It comes into being through the saying.
Yes.
God said it. That's what brings it into existence.
Oh. Thank God. Yes.
And all we're doing is we're looking into a mirror. And when we're looking into the mirror, as Paul says, we're looking into it. He uses the root word of that Greek word that he uses is enigma, that is transliterated, enigma. We transliterate that enigma, which means a puzzle, obscured. So as you look in life, all you're doing is looking at the reflections, not the real deal. Because the real deal is where God is. And God is not in time. God is timeless. And so the thing that's going down, there's a fifth dimension in there called purpose. And no, there's no way to figure everything out that's going on. Most things we can't figure out. That doesn't mean there's not some purpose and methodology to it. And so when it doesn't make sense to us, it doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. It simply means it doesn't make sense to us. There's rhyme and reason, but it's not human reasoning. And as we read our contract, the Holy Spirit inspires us to trust Him. Do you trust God when you don't understand what's going on? Can you trust? Oh my God, can you trust Him? That thing is seemingly working the very opposite of what your hopes and aspirations are. When it seems as if things are going to implode, can you trust Him? All right, Brother Deacon, read the King James. I'm going to go verse 50 through 54. I'm going to try to exegete the whole thing. That's why I wanted to start earlier today. And then, we're going to use some exegesis. Hey, listen, you better know what this Bible is actually conveying and saying rather than what some interpretation, especially in some of these English translations, are. We're not going to be held captive to what King James, the NIV, the SV, or any of them. All right? Read first the King James. And the reason we start with the King James is because that's basically what most of us are familiar with. And it's a pretty good translation, but they're like everyone else, they brought their prejudice to the table. Amen. And we're not here to rail against the King James. What we're here basically to do is to get the truth. We can't begin to explain it to you until we actually get the essence of what it's saying. If we get the wrong conveyance, then the explication is faulty. All right? Everybody got it? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Say amen. All right?
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, King mm-hmm. James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Now, why is he saying that? He's saying that because somehow we're trying to get these paradises here on earth.
Right.
And blissfulness on earth. And the essence of where they reside is where God is. So isn't God on earth? Are you going to put God on earth? That's the same as putting God in time. Well, is he in it? He created them. He created the ages of time by saying it. Through a saying. He decreed it. So he's not a component of it. He's not locked into it. He's not subject to it. It's the opposite. Time is there for a purpose of testimony because of the finiteness of our minds. You can't throw everything in there at once, can you? It has to be sequenced. You all pray for me. Sometimes I want to just put it all out there. But you can't throw it all out there once, can you? You got to sequence it. Right? You got to divide it up and give it out. Can't boom, all at once. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, the essence of the rule of God, it's not about meat and bread. And the 14th verse, what's that? Romans 14, 17, we dealt with a few weeks. No, don't go to it. Right in the middle, Paul was dealing with those who were saying people weren't saved because they were doing this, that, and the other, you know, and they were observing customs. If you didn't observe that custom, then you weren't saved, you know, and one brother eating meat and the other one not eating meat. And, you know, we get into all these crazy things. And Paul, in the middle of that, he said, hey, that's not what the reign of God is about. In other words, it's not about physicalities. And here, as he goes through this passage here, and he starts off at verse 1 there, we're not going back through that, but just to kind of give an overview of that. You know, he speaks of the gospel, he speaks of that which we believe and understand. Of course, everything begins with salvation, but we got to get salvation right. You can't put salvation in time. Your salvation is not about one day you'd have got up and you were very, very ignorant and very, very rebellious the day before, and the next day, you know, you heard something, and all of a sudden you're smarter than you were yesterday, and you did something, and now you belong to Him when you didn't belong to Him yesterday. We put salvation in time. You see, anything that you put in time, it destabilizes it. Because time is there for manifestation, for testimony's sake. And time is temporary. And this is why many of us think about salvation as being temporary. Because we got it in the wrong place. And so he goes through a litany of things, of experiences, and then he begins to talk about life and death. And, you know, when you take, when we focus in eternality, death has no meaning.
It does not. That's right. It does not. None.
Transition has no meaning. Moving and changing have no meaning. This is why we take the time and we get these venues straight. We separate eternality from time and physicality. Because what we want is the unending, never-ending security versus those things that are passing. And everything that's going on out there is passing. This is why I said to you, Mona, whatever is going on in your life, don't you let that thing run you crazy. It's passing. Whatever it is. And so what did he say, Brother Deacon, there?
Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
Now, here's what we're saying. We go back over to just a little bit from last week. Amen. We've got You got a verb in there. What's the verb? We have the verb that's translated inherit, receive, gain, and possess. It is the Greek word kleronon, meset, which is in, it is an infinitive. What is a verb? What is an infinitive? The verb or noun. What's the noun? Name of person, place, or thing. Follow me here. Don't go brain dead on me. Name of person, place, or thing. So here he's talking about a possession, but it is in the form of a verb, so it is the receiving of a possession. The problem here is we have the errors, not the problem, but the underlying fact here is that we have the aorist tense. What is the aorist tense?
Completed action.
So we talk about gaining things and possessing things. It is a completed action. In the former, he is talking about, read that from the Greek, verse 50. Are you with me? Are you following me? All right?
And this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood, the kingdom of God, to inherit cannot, neither corruption, incorruption inherit.
That means these are predetermined facts. Follow me now. In the former, flesh and blood, physicality, it's estranged from the kingdom and rule of God. It is a tool of manifestation. God materialized things temporarily for the sake of testifying, of depicting, of conveying information to us. And the properties of those things are the fact that they are what? They're corrupt. We have the Greek noun, authority, plethora, which is corrupt, a corrupt, the king. In the accusative case, it's aphathosion, it's a noun. It says no corruption. So here you have corruption and decay, and that which is perishing in the time capsule. And what this is telling us is that this is a design venue for it, and it cannot be any other way, because you cannot get it into a state where it's perfect. You're beating your head against the wall. There's no such thing. Listen to me. We'll get into this in detail in the conference. There's no such thing as paradise on earth.
All right. Come on. Hallelujah.
You get that out of your head.
Come on.
Else, you've set yourself up for a roller coaster ride.
Absolutely.
Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. and continuously up and down. We have a cardinal conjunction in this verb. What is a conjunction? It links two thoughts together. Up there. Neither. Nor. Because the kingdom of God is not about physicality, then neither nor that the key of physicality, amen, inherit or gain possession that which is the opposite. It's the king. There's no way to stop it. How many beautiful mansions once now in ruin? Let me just give you a crude example, something that maybe everybody here kind of can relate to a little bit. You ever bought a new car? That bad boy smells good. You get inside. You just let a few years go by. You know, I used to keep it clean all the time. I see. Oh, that spot. It got after a while. That thing has so many scratches. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's everything else in life.
Everything. Nah.
That's why I cringe when I turn on the TV and people start talking about get your stuff. You don't have no stuff. It will decay right in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what this verse is telling us, but you know, we're not. You see, this is in our contract, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
We will go back and say, well, Abraham had 50
right.
oxen, and
right.
at the end, you know, in Genesis and so forth, and it's, woo! But Abraham had. You all better hear me this morning. I'm not saying don't save up money and try to get you to four. I'm saying, you know, remember those 401ks?
Yeah, I remember.
The IRAs? See, I lost it. No. You never had it. Because whatever you think you got, it's going to decay. That's what this is saying. Our problem is we're not listening. Oh, my God. Let's go to verse 2, 52. My deacon, read. All right, we switch readers. I'll love them. Go ahead.
Verse 52.
Uh-huh.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
I'm sorry, verse 51.
51. Behold,
mm-hmm.
I show you a mystery.
You see, this what I see. I see you have, what are you talking about, Paul? Paul said, you won't get this knowledge anywhere else. Y'all pay attention to this. Until Paul says this, it's unknown.
Unknown. That's right.
Otherwise, it's not a mystery, is it? I keep you a secret. Read.
Behold, I show you a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed.
All right. What are we saying here? What are we saying here? Here he begins this with a declaration. Here we have the verb lego. The lego means what? Word. A say. Here we have a verb that's in the indicative. What's the indicative mood? It's a fact. He say, here I am present to you a fact, which makes it more than just a saying. What is it? It is a declaration. What are you declaring, Paul? We read that from the Greek.
Verse 51. Behold, a mystery.
Behold. It starts out. You see the difference here? Why do we date Jesus? Come on, please. We have a parka there. The parka is ethu. It's translated, behold. Look. Pay attention. I have a secret that has never been known before, and I'm declaring it to you. What are you declaring? Read.
Behold, a mystery to you I tell.
I declare.
All.
Mm-hmm.
We shall not fall asleep.
We shall not all fall asleep. We shall not all fall asleep. Well, that's good news, but that doesn't mean you're just going to stay here.
No way.
Thank God. Amen. The best thing about time is that it's temporary. Because of what goes along with it. Problems, troubles. The best thing about all of this thing is that it's temporary. Read.
But all we shall be changed.
We shall be changed. Follow now. We shall not sleep. That word sleep there. It is a verb. It is the verb chemithisomitha. It is in indicative mood. It is in the future tense. How do you get a future fact? How can Paul confidently say we shall not all sleep? It is the revelation of the mystery. It is the revelation of the mystery. That we shall all sleep. Uh-huh. It is a declaration of God.
Yes, amen. That's right.
If it's in a decree, it has already happened.
Yes, amen.
Right. Thank God.
Hasn't manifested. Doesn't matter. It has already happened.
Yeah.
In the fact that it's the creed. What's the creed? Here we have a verb. I said, Pastor, you're getting so technical. Just listen. We have a verb here. Alayis somita. Now the first part of that syllable, that Allah, that means what? But. But means what? There's something reversive happening. That's why there's annex there. It is an indicative mood in the future tense, which means it's the creed. It's in the passive voice. What's the passive voice? It's not something we're not doing.
You know,
there's more comfort to know if you're up in the plane that you're not flying it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you don't know how.
Don't know how.
As it works with this word here, the comfort ends that we don't understand it. We don't know how it works. But you don't have to worry about that. You're not doing it.
Hallelujah.
In fact, it's already done. And you didn't do it. Uh-huh. And you had no part of doing it. The passive voice.
Amen.
Now, most of the translations follow here. Maybe I won't get through the whole thing today. Follow here. Most of the translations translate this change. When you say change, it gives the inference that you've got something that evolves into something else. Follow me here. So when we think about our glorified bodies,
right,
and we say change, we're thinking that these bodies evolving into something glorified. There's no way that my body and your body can evolve into anything glorified. So the word is not change, but exchange. The body that you're in now is taken out. In another place in Corinthians, Paul said, since this earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed. What are you talking about, Paul? He said, the body you're in now, it's already gone. He said, well, I'm looking at it. It doesn't happen in the manifestation. Because it's not, your funeral has already occurred. But Pastor, that's not a good thing. Listen. We're not talking about renovating this building. We're talking about raising and destroying this building in exchange. That which is glorious. Spiritual. Undefiled. We're talking about exchanging this body for the body of Christ. Oh, somebody should be shouting all the loud now. What an exchange. Now you know, if you went into the store and you bought something and it was defective, you don't want them to take that and fix it and give it back to you, do you? Do you? So you don't go there to change it. You go there to exchange it. So if you exchange a shack for a mansion, what's your problem? But the problem is, you want to do it here in the time capsule. It just told us in the verse before then that corruption cannot morph into incorruption. There's got to be an exchange. That's why some of the songs that, of course, I'm the guardian of songs around here. Reaping the harvest of plenty, however that goes. Get back from the devil what he stole from me. You don't want no corrupt. Oh my God. And this is what we're going to really hit in the conference. What we want to do, this is what we want to do. Listen, this is what we need to do. This is what we have to do. We have to appreciate God for his eternal workings, his eternal accomplishments, those things that will always be. Now, yeah, you thank God for food, clothes, and housing, and so forth and so on. We're not saying, you know, every time, you know, somebody can always say, yeah, you know, they're saying you shouldn't. No, that's not what we're saying. But your greatest appreciation for him come from those things that the eyes cannot see. The invisible. Because the invisible is the eternal. Everybody say exchange. Not change. You see the difference? All right. Let's go to verse 52.
In a moment, in a glance of an eye, at the last trumpet, for a trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
I understand, this is in our contract. Don't get all this mixed up now with in the kingdom gospel. What he has promised Abraham. For all the proceedings in Revelation. Here, this points to where Paul is talking in Thessalonians. When he shall appear, which is the epiphany, not the parousia. Parousia is the second coming of Christ. Before you get to that, you've got the appearing. When Paul in Thessalonians? The one that we read at funerals, we don't understand what we're reading. The epiphany. When he comes, he brings what? Those who are dead in Christ. Why are they with him? Because that's the only place you go when you close your eyes. In manifestation. As for the body, what? Trust is in the Lord. Why is that? Because that's where he placed you when he chose you before creation, before the foundation of the world. That's where you've been all the time. You just, you know, we're in the body of Christ now. In our minds, in manifestation, we in our conscience here, you know, but you, through the word of God, you can realize it through the word. Just believe in me. You in Christ alone. That's why Paul can say from the Philippian jail as he writes to the saints, rejoice! And the jail said, again, rejoice! What are you rejoicing for, Paul? You're incarcerated. No! I'm not incarcerated! I'm in Christ! Rejoice! Because you're in Christ! Even if you're behind with your bills this morning, rejoice because you're in Christ. If your body's sick, if you get bad news from the doctor, so-called bad news, rejoice. If you have infirmities, instead of, I can't be happy until I get this infirmity removed. Some people get in the same line for the same ailments every week. That's why we don't do that here. That's an illusion. An illusion is a lie. I pray that Bible can petition with you that God will heal you. But it may not be his will. So before I close that, I end that petition with what?
Lord,
your will is done. It's done. But the fact that we are in the body of Christ now. We're in the body of Christ right now. Our problem is we're in the time capsule and we think this is what is happening is, and this is why. We've got to understand time is a creation with events in it for the purpose of manifesting testimony.
Right.
And that's not real, the real deal of where you reside. You got to understand that. Exchange. In Thessalonians, Paul said, comfort one another with these words.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
It should be comforting to us to know these things. So when you go and you read, what is that, 1 Thessalonians? That 2 Thessalonians. Is it 2 Thessalonians? Somebody grab that right quick. Say, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians. And those that are asleep, they got a head start on you. It's funny, we call them late, don't we? They're going ahead of us. And the person is got a head start on you and going ahead of you, and you're calling them late. If the person has got a head start on you, who's late?
But
you know what? We do that because our reference point is in the time capsule instead of eternity. So those who have gone on ahead of us, who are early and not late, they're with Christ now in manifestation, so they're ahead of us. And when he comes, they've got to be with him. And when he comes, those that are alive and remain, that is, earthly in bodily form, caught up, shall be caught up. Then that same Greek word is used. Read that right quickly. Just do the King James. When we get to the word, we'll focus on it.
First Thessalonians.
And remember, this is not no funeral message. This is not a funeral. This is not a homegoing message this morning. Paul said, comfort one another with these words right now. What you understand about eternity will cause you to see the reality of time, and you're not going crazy out here. Read.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with the 16th verse.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout,
mm-hmm.
with the voice of the archangel,
mm-hmm.
and with the trump of God,
uh-huh.
and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Well, see, he's using that metaphorically verses before that. Then he said that he bring them with him. Huh? Go back to that verse. We can't leave that. Somebody, we missed something there. Go.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord himself.
Mm-hmm.
Keep reading.
But I think those words before that, he said he brings them with him.
Oh yeah, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again,
uh-huh.
even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will
die. Where are they? That's metaphorical. That means they were there all the time. That's where you are. But you don't get the manifestation until you close your eyes and get out of the time capsule. And when we do, amen. Oh, it's sad that so many of God's people, when they have to close their eyes and they wake up and look around and say, where am I? No.
Amen.
To know it now. So he does what?
If he's sleeping, Jesus, will God bring with him?
You know, why does he bring them with him? Why? Because that's where you are. Where else you going to go? That's your abode. You in the body of Christ. That's where you've been since eternity. Before the creation of the world. That's where you are. And I'm going to be walking around here. Where are the, you know, Paul said, yeah, I asked the Lord 3 times to take this infirmity from me. And God said, Paul, leave that thing alone. I'm going to do more with you with the infirmity than the infirmity and we could ever do with you without it. And then Paul said, well, thank you, Jesus. He said, now, when I'm weak, then I know I'm strong. That's when I'm strong, when I'm weak.
That's
it.
Amen.
So our focus and our priority, not on what's happening around me, what situation I'm in, what infirmity I have, I go to my doctor and he started listing all that stuff, and I tell you right now, I don't hide anything from y'all. There's a whole heap of lot of things physically wrong with me. But you know what? Please. Worry about checking out? No. What is an appointment? Has what? Time and a place, right? Who makes the appointment? Can you change it? You shouldn't want to change it. Whatever God has decreed.
Yeah.
That's what that's about.
Thank God. Yeah.
Let's go back to 52. It's hard. Hey, you all sure you don't let me preach about 3-4 hours? What is it? I love this. Especially that one back there. I love it. Amen. All right, give me about 15 minutes. I'm going to bail out. Amen. I promise I won't break the record. I promise. 52. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 52.
In a moment.
Uh-huh.
In a glance of an eye.
Uh-huh.
At the last trumpet.
Uh-huh.
For a trumpet will sound,
uh-huh,
and the dead will be raised incorruptible.
Uh-huh, and what?
And we shall be changed.
Exchanged.
We shall be exchanged.
Exchanged. Read that for the Greek. Dolphin. Okay, we shall be exchanged. The crazy notions of what had been taught to us. And every time someone talks about the rapture and they draw pictures, they got people coming up out of the grave and so forth and so on. Are you out of your mind? When you part company with your body, that's it. You'll never have a thing to do with him no more. And of course, for all the elements I go, I don't want to change. I want an exchange. That's the same Greek word. Oh my God. The same Greek word. That word is in a 5-word diagram in a sentence, and of course I wait to get the perfected class. If I was diagramming this, the first syllable there is Allah. Which is translated what? But. In other words, what you got here is in stark contrast to what we experience it now. Allah Yiso Mepha. What does Greek word yeo mean? Yeo. Son. But son. Huh? In other words, but heirs. You are heirs of God.
Yes, indeed.
That inheritance that they were just talking about, you got it. That's why it was in the aorist tense. You got to take your link this thing together, and man, you start really reading your contract, and you're not going to get all upset out there. You know, oh man, I'm too much bad on my card. If you take that, if they pull up there and I'm not talking about something that never happened to me, man, I don't be hiding no stuff. If they take that car,
yeah.
What is that about? A couple of days ago, man went up in a building in Orlando, Florida, and shot a bunch of people. They got him. 2 years ago, they laid him off. This is an engineer firm, so I just assume he's an engineer. Now I can't make the money I used to make. My life is ruined. You see the advantage of knowing this? Because see, when you know this, then you know that your life is not about anything out there. You know, we have to get to the point that the only thing we can't do without is Jesus. That house, that car, that job. Listen to me this morning. The first night we're going to talk about the essence of eternal life. And we're going to just dwell there. And we're going to just delve into our contract and look at all of these glorious benefits, provisions that God has, and none of them can be disturbed. And we just gloss over all of them because our affection is still on what? On not earth. Things above, but what? On things on the earth.
That's right. That's right.
Now, it's not saying what you don't care. The key word is what?
Prioritize.
Yeah, I would love to see you get whatever, you know, as long as it doesn't take you out of the fellowship. But I want you to have it. I don't want it to have you. It doesn't take much for us to get caught up in things. And that thing is decaying and fading. Even Jesus in the kingdom gospel, he talked about not getting caught up in these things because they corrode. Even what he gives Israel is new. And what John said, I looked and I saw what? A new heaven, but what? A new earth. They get an exchange too. You better hear me this morning. First off, God's not going to let some of us get caught up in these things because that's why he takes them away. That's why this is so shaky. And that's the lesson that we have to learn. But if our emotions are not caught up in, then our emotions are not shaky. Our emotions are shaky because the thing is shaky, and that's what your emotion is caught up in. Let that thing go. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Long as nothing, everybody feel the thing. Long as nothing happened to Jesus.
Long as nothing happened to Jesus.
Everything is all right. Give the Lord a hand praise. And by the way, nothing ever happened to Jesus. That's where life subsists. It's in him.
That's right. Amen.
Let me just throw this verse 53 in here. And then I guess we just have to bail out. I can't ever get where I'm going. Read.
Verse 53.
Mm-hmm.
It behooves for...
Now you're reading from the...
Interlinear.
From the interlinear. All right, follow this.
It behooves for corruptible...
Oh my God, stop there. Here you have a verb. You got the verb see. It is an indicative mood. It's active third person... singular. Actually, it says of necessity. You know, in Matthew 24, uses the ribs of that, and Jesus said, and these things must be. Why they must be? It's got to manifest. Why does it have to manifest? Manifestation has to follow the decree. It can't be anything else but what is decreed. So here translate it behooves or is necessary. What's necessary? Read.
For corruptible this to put on incorruption.
It is necessary. It must be that corruption do what?
Put on incorruption. And
put on. And look at this verb here that he uses. It's translated put on, clothes, dress. Where? Enrobe. Corruption must enrobe or put on incorruption. Where must that be? And what else?
and mortar this to put on immortality.
And this frame must enrobe the same verb there is in the aorist tense.
Yeah.
My friend is done. The change is already made. Even though it's not manifested, it's made. You're in Christ right now. We'll take this up next week. Oh my God. But just turn to page 51 a minute. I just want to read two or three paragraphs there. Then, and we'll accept it. Then why are we stopping and talking about the timeless of God? Why am I not engaging the church in some political, social, or philosophical aspect of dealing with something that's quote touching your lives? Oh, my friend, I don't want something to just touch my life. I want something that's going to dominate my life. Everybody got that? The timelessness of God? Give me about 5 minutes here. All right? Everybody got to say amen. Page 51. The timelessness of God. Everybody said the timelessness of God. God is timeless rather than being eternally in time. Or being beyond time in the spirit. Time in and of itself was simply created by God as a finitely limited part of his creation for accommodating the workings of his purpose in his indisposable universe. The universe is disposable. It was eternally the design of God's purpose and decree to formulate the imperfections, that is, the corruptibility, decay, inevitably death of the world by which such is errantly structured to function in the so-called physical laws of the universe. Clearly, God did not design anything to be perfectly within the locale, listen, of space, time, and matter. Clearly, God did not design anything to be perfect within the locale of space, time, and matter. God did not design anything to be perfect within the locale of space, time, and matter. But he in himself is separate or holy in his perfection. In terms of where God dwells, he inherently self-exists in the separate or holy sphere of eternity, wherein his nature imbues perfection and timelessness. The only anthropomorphic or human analogy of this phenomenon must remain in mankind's state of curiosity, which is enthralled, or spellbound, or held in awe in the limitedness dimension of what is. Thus, God cannot exist within that which can be conceived of as time. Nor can he exist in some mystical infinity of time, as in the assumption of the concept of the ages of ages, which scripturally does not imply timelessness at all. Time is finite and ends, but God does not end. Alpha, viewing God as a resident of time is problematic in light of the fact that time intricately involves temporal sequence and confined physicality. If we interpret existence as an absolute point, or as an absolute to the point of timelessness, it goes arguably far above the extent of physical creation. God possesses changeless integrity, and actually timelessness repels, it throws off, all that is hopelessly temporal. For occurrences to happen and remain, it is so essential for them to be embedded in timelessness with God. In this sense, nothing outside of the eternal sphere implies timelessness at all, which dictates that human history, as it is perceived with its temporal sequences, will end. In light of this, the problem question is, we'll stop here today. When time does end, what will happen to the components of creation and its temporal beings? That's the question that's been posed. In addition, can a temporal being become an atemporal being? According to the principles of timelessness, atemporal, that is non-temporary, entities cannot experience progression from a state of before to after. You understand that this is why we're talking about the exchange. That would be necessary to any process of becoming. That's why every time we have that word that becoming, we strike that out. Okay? And that it would be a contradiction if something became timeless. Father, what happened to Jesus? His incarnation was temporal, that is manifestation-wise, in view that Jesus seemingly ascended into heaven with a physical body, and as previously noted, physicality requires what? Time. We'll clear all this up next week. It does not agree with what we know of the universe. Time and physical space are inseparable, that they are both part of creation. Further, the entire concept of temporal sequence is relative. Thus, one would be taking an extreme step to suggest that sequence from before to after begin after the fall. We just destroyed all that stuff we learned about the garden. Actually, the notion that man became temporal after the fall is just as contradictory as the notion that he would become atemporal, because becoming has no place in timelessness. We'll start here next week. Oh my God, my prayer is that you will get this information. You'll get this information. Huh? And when you get this information, we can put some more words with that song that the saints sing. When they started singing, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. Take the day out of it. Today does what? In the first time. And this is why we have to think about something today. I tell Satan, get deep behind. That's all the thing we don't mind. You start talking about victory. No, no. We're talking about from the beginning. Oh, my God. And this is why Paul, in the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, he says, Eulogitos, he says, high praise, supreme praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, having blessed us. What do you mean, Paul? In eternity, having blessed us with each and every spiritual blessing, where they reside in the heavenly, where the heavenly is in Christ, not in time, because God is timeless. We'll take it up next week. God bless you.